Good morning, 大家早。Thank you for coming to the open house talk this morning. 谢谢大家今天早上在这里来参加这个佛学院演讲。And before I get started, I'd like to take this opportunity to express my gratitude to the resident monastic, one of whom is Changjai Bashi here, who here devoted life to look after this place of practice for us. So, and also the volunteers here that come and look after the place, cooking for our lunch, cleaning the place for us, so that we have this wonderful place for our practice. And so I want to express my gratitude to them. I also want to thank my husband and my chauffeur for today, who drove me here and will then drive me to New Jersey for a meditation workshop this afternoon. So if it weren't for him, then I wouldn't have been left with less energy to do this. So 在这个演讲开始前呢，希望要用这个机会来谢谢感恩，首先是感恩这里的常住法师常斋法师在那边，还有其他的法师哈，他们呢就是出家修行，照顾这些道场，让我们有这么好的道场在这里修行，是非常感恩当然也感恩这里的菩萨义工菩萨，在有一些菩萨还在下面呢，来帮我们准备午餐呢。在来这里清洁做很多的事情就是义务的来让我们有这么好的道场在这里修行，所以就非常感恩这些义工菩萨们，也希望感恩我的先生今天当我的司机，把从 New Jersey 的家里载我来这里，然后就要载我回去 New Jersey， 今天下午在那边也有共修的活动所以就非常感恩所有的菩萨们。So today's topic, I'll pick a very big topic, the three studies, precepts, concentration, and wisdom. You can spend years sitting here talking about this. So 今天的题目哈就是三学，中文三学就是戒、定、慧这三学，这是很大的题目哈。如果真的要把它完整的讲，要讲讲很久很久都讲不完哈。What are the three studies? They are upholding the precepts, cultivating concentration, and cultivating realizing wisdom.They are the three studies, become the three studies, because these are the three topics of studies in our cultivation for every, that's necessary for every serious committed Buddhist practitioner. So if you consider yourself a committed serious Buddhist practitioner, these are the three things that you ought to be studying, practicing.So this is a big topic, as I mentioned, I would like to spend some time to go over each one of them briefly to see what each entails. And if you would like to take a look at a good detailed discussion, I will recommend reading Master Shen Yan's book,The part two of his book, Hoofprint of the Ox, has a very good detailed discussion of the three studies. So I will recommend that. 那三学，这个三学是什么呢？三学就是戒、定、慧。这个叫为什么叫三学？学就是我们需要学习，学习来修行。这个三学就是每一个，如果我们是希望当一个正信一个正式的佛教徒，好好修行的佛教徒，这三学三个都是三项都是我们需要学习 认真修行的项目。那刚才我讲呢，那三学呢是很大的题目哈，很广泛。那今天呢，我先把它简单的介绍一下啊。那如果希望就是有个希望有一些比较详细的解释呢，我可以介绍那个师父那个What's the Chinese title？ 牛的印记那本书，那个第二部分就是讲三学，讲得很详细，非常清楚，好，可以介绍大家一下。So, what's the first study upholding precept, a big topic in itself, and I'm not a precept expert at all. So, that's when we hear about upholding precept, especially for a lay practitioner, you hear about taking a 5 precepts. Some of you may have done that already. Very often, it's possible for one to take the 5 precepts when we want to take the 3 refuges formally become a Buddhist. And the 5 precepts are refraining from killing, refraining from stealing, refraining from lying, refraining from sexual misconduct, and also refraining from alcohol and intoxicants. 那第一个学就是那个戒哈，持戒这个也是很大的题目哈。我不是戒律的专家，一点都不是，我知的非常的皮毛。可是呢，那对在家菩萨来讲呢，就是通常就我们就最基本就是持五戒哈。呀，这里有些菩萨可能就已经有受过五戒，就是当我们那个皈依三宝的时候，也会有机会受五戒。那五戒是什么呢？就是不要杀生，不偷盗，不撒谎，不邪淫，还有就是不要饮酒，还有就是用毒品哈。So we spend a little bit of time going over each of these precepts.Because at the first glance, it's going to sound like a bunch of rules or a bunch of commandments or something. And some of us may be a little bit allergic to it. So, what not killing? Not killing, the principle, the most basic thing is not kill other people. That would be pretty basic ethical code. And in the principle...The principle is to not cause physical harm to other people, right? So, to think about it, a more proactive approach, because most of us are not going to kill other people, and most of us are not really going to beat up other people either. And so what is a more proactive approach to upholding this precept?It would be to protect and preserve life. One way to think about it is to protect animals, to protect the natural environment in order to protect wild animals, perhaps. Maybe to reduce pollution that in this way kills people.To support proposals that will save people from very preventable deaths. So thinking about this way, it may affect, for example, which charity you donate to. So this is a demonstration of what this precept of not killing, like first is not killing people, but like it can really, as one thinks more deeply about it,one can start seeing that there is a lot more to it, and we can expand it, and really, and it will become more relevant to many aspects of our lives. 那这个不要杀生哈，不杀生最主要的就是不要杀人，就是不要去杀其他人哈。那个原则呢，就是不要去伤害其他人的身体，哦。 那这个哈，很多人就说我都很多大部分人都不会去杀人嘛，不会杀人，也不会去打人哈，去那个伤害其他人的身体。那再广泛一点的去认识这个不杀生这个戒律呢，就是呢比较积极的，就是呢去护身，去保护其他的生命或者可以比如说我们这个想可以去保护不只是人其他不杀其他的动物，保护动物，或是去保护我们的自然环境，就是让其他的一些野生的动物也可以生存啊，还有或者是就是不要污染环境，那个污染呢、啊、常常就会也会杀人嘛，有一些很多人他生的病就是因为环境污染，或是呢我们去支持一些团体啊，他们的工作就是要去医治一些人，他们的有生的病呢其实很容易就是可以治疗的，他们的这些团体就是做这些事情，我们就去扶持他们啊。那就如果这样想，或许我们就可以想象啊，我们在想要捐助什么团体的时候，我们就可以知道，这些团体我们可以支持一下哈。那这样讲一下，我们就可以看到呢，这个不杀生这个戒律了，其实呢，不只是说我不杀人就这么简单，可以呢把它那个解读的理解的更广泛。那这样子呢我们就发现了，其实我们生活里面很多不同的范畴都是跟这个不杀生这个戒律是有关系的，我们都是可以持的。 So we can see so the next precept not stealing the principle is to not take what does not belong to oneself. It's like not to steal from others. And so it can be money, property, and it's also possible for us to steal other things from others, right? One thing that we don't think much about, so I don't steal money from others, but maybe like we take credit for doing something that's an accomplishment, and we steal the credit from the person to whom the credit should be due. Is that stealing? If we really think about it, that can qualify as a form of stealing. So again, this is another example to help us think that, yeah, the very obvious thing is not to steal money, not to take property from others, but we can also think about it in more in nuanced, subtle ways. 那第二个呢，就是不偷盗哈。那不偷盗就是不要去拿其他人的东西哈。那么这个原则呢，就是不要去拿不属于自己的东西哈。那就是不属于自己的，不要拿其他人的钱呐、啊，其他人的财物啊，这样子。那大家就说，哎，这个简单了、啊，我都不抽钱的，我不偷钱的啊，我不拿其他人东西的，啊，这个就是好像很简单。可是当我们就是细心再想一下，我们其实也有其他东西，我们有可能是也是去拿人家的，没想到哈。虽然就可能是因为不是钱哈，不是财物，比如说就是大家做了有人做一件事，那个成功，成绩很好哈，应该是大家都是去赞叹他的，我们呢就去拿那个功啊，就是说哎，这个是我做的，那个让人家以为是我有多棒，拿了人家的功劳。这个是算可不可以算是偷盗啊？可以哈，可以，我们是偷掉其他人的应该得到的那个赞叹。所以呢，当我们细心想呢，其实也是可以呢看到呢，虽然我们不偷钱，可能我们有些时候有一些行为呢，也可以呢，用这个戒律来提醒我们的哈。 So the third precept is not lying. And that's a tough one because we talk a lot. And so it is a high probability of this happening. The principle is not to tell lies, say something that's untrue in order to benefit ourselves, right? Because the response right away is like, well, how about like white lies, you know, like when someone say, how do I look? It's like, well, she looks terrible, but what should I say? Oh, I should not tell lies. I just tell her you look terrible. We need to really think about it, right? So it's really like whether we are telling some lies to benefit ourselves. That happens, right? That's what really a lot of time when people tell lies, like, did you do this? No, I didn't, because we want to, we don't want to be punished, right? So that would be breaking the precept of telling lies. So here you can see that it's quite a bit more nuanced. It has to do with our motivation. What is it that motivates us to tell a lie? So it's not that straightforward. It's not that rigid. Never tell lies. Like we really think about it. So 第三个戒了就是不要撒谎哈，这个不容易，因为我们常常讲话哈，讲话多讲了就会容易破戒啊，所以呢，那个这个撒谎这个戒呢，这原则就是呢，不要讲一些不是真实的事情来让我们得到利益，所以撒谎就是这个不要撒谎这个戒律是这个意思哈。因为很多人就想，可是有些时候就是要撒点谎啊，因为就是要让其他人感觉比较好一点啊。好像最简单就是说，哦，有人问我，哎，我今天怎么样，看不好，好不好看？比如说，我是觉得他穿这个衣服真的很难看哈、哦。可是我不，如果说我不撒谎，我就跟他说啊，你好难看呐、啊，那是会伤害人家的那个那个心嘛哈。你就是这个，所以呢，肯定你会想啊，好的蛮好啊，这个衣服蛮好看。那个就是你可以说哦，这个可是就是破戒啊，这是撒谎。可是我们听清楚，这个戒就是说不要讲一些不真实的东西来给我们自己得到利益哈。所以什么时候就是当人家问你，你明明是做了一件错事了，那然后呢，人家问你是不是你做的，哦，不是我做的，因为我们不希望受到惩罚，这个就是撒谎，这个就是破戒了，明不明白？那个姐清楚了哈。所以呢，我这个不要撒谎这个戒呢，就是其实我们就发现，其实那个其实是蛮不是这么简单的，因为这个戒的不只是说。永远不要撒谎，永远都要讲真的东西哈。可是就是想一想看那个是要看我们这个动机是什么，动机是什么，要看那个情况哈。那然后第四戒呢，就是不邪淫啊，这个不邪淫这个戒呢也是非常复杂的所以我待会再那个解释一下哈。So the fourth precept is not engaging in sexual misconduct. This is a complicated one, and I think you can take many talks to go over that. Not engaging in sexual misconduct, the principle is to keep in mind is not to satisfy one's sexual desires by hurting others. So by engaging in acts that hurt others. So the first thing that many people would come to mind for many people would be sort of sexual misconduct involving adultery, for example, or being unfaithful to one's partner because one wants to have, you know, more sexual partners to satisfy their own sexual desires. But doing so involves of course, it involves lying. You have to cover up what you're doing. You're breaking out a precept already. And then also, it's hurtful to others involved, right? So because one wants to satisfy one's desire, it causes harm to others. And of course, it disrupts the harmony of the family for people who are married, and not to mention the children. So this is a principle of the precept. And another way to understand it, just briefly, is engaging in non-consensual sex. Like that person did not agree to have sex with you, and so we call that rape in this country. So that is also trying to satisfy one's sexual desire by hurting others. So these are some examples of sexual misconduct. As you can see, the principle of satisfying one's desire by hurting others. This is something we need to refrain from doing. 那这个不邪淫刚才讲了复杂的这个原则呢原则就是呢不要因为希望去那个满足自己在性方面的那个欲望呢而去杀害其他人。 很多人呢，在那个想到这个邪淫间呢，第一件就是会想到就是做一些出轨的事情，就是如果是自己已经结婚也好，有一个伴侣也好，就是因为就是去找其他的性伴侣，因为就是希望满足自己的性欲。那当我们做这些事情的时候呢，首先我们就要 撒谎了，因为就是要不让另外一个不让自己的伴侣知道自己在做这个事情，首先就要破另外一个戒了。然后呢，就是这样子的，当然是会伤害这些伴侣了，那个自己的配偶也好，自己的伴侣也好，或是另外一个人，那也会破坏那个家庭里面的和谐。 如果是已经结婚了，可能也会让那个伤害小孩啊，所以呢，就是整件事就是因为希望满足自己的欲望呢，去伤害其他人，所以呢，这个我们是要不要做的。另外一个例子呢，就是强迫其他人来跟自己有性行为，那个在这个国家我们叫强暴。 那个呢，就是也是另外一个例子，就是因为希望去满足自己的欲望来伤害其他人，这个就是这个戒的精神，就是不要去不应该去犯的。第五个是一个蛮有趣的，不喝酒，待会解释一下。 The fifth precept is unique one to Buddhism, not consuming alcohol in intoxicant. Another big topic, can spend days and days talking about this. There's a lot of controversy about this one, even among Buddhists. So some of you might have heard that the story was that it wasn't really an original precept, but then one of Buddha's disciples got drunk and broke all four precepts. And then the Buddha thought that, well, this should be a fifth precept too, so that as a preventive measure, because if any of you have been drunk or been intoxicated, you may notice that you don't exercise the best judgment. Would you agree? Your mind is not clear. Either you're overly stimulated, excited, or maybe numb by whatever you are consuming. And either way results in a mind that is not clear, that's unable to really judge, exercise sound judgment of whether what you're doing will cause harm to others. So that's why there is this fifth precept to protect us from breaking the first four precepts. Okay. So now, one way to think about this, especially we live in a society where social drinking is like really very much a norm. And also from some for some people, I know actually an individual, very devoted practitioner, said that, well, I have to consciously give up the fifth precept because I like to have wine with my food because he's a foodie. He likes his food and it has to be enjoyed with wine and like to taste good. So like when alcohol is taken as an integral part of a meal. So in this context, very often you'll hear this precept being explained or given sometimes as to not get drunk, to refrain from getting drunk from consuming alcohol, because apparently some people, it's possible for them to drink some alcohol and not really be have effect on too much compromise their mental function too much. So it's very much up to the individual. Right. So 这个饮酒哈，不饮酒这个戒律哈，这个很复杂的，很多现在很多那个佛教界里面也会讨论这个问题哈。这个戒呢，是那个佛教比较特别有的戒哈，因为其通常其他宗教不会讲这个。 那个可能大家有听说过呢，那个不饮酒戒呢，本来是没有的。佛陀的时候，可是呢，那个有个故事说，有一位佛陀的弟子呢，因为呢喝了酒饮醉了，就把一二三四个戒呢都破掉。那佛陀就发现，哎，这个大问题哈，那把就把这个不要饮酒这个戒呢。 就设进去，作为一个就是保护我们，让我们呢不要保护我们，不要去破其他的戒律。所以这个戒的原则在包括在五戒里面是这个原因哈。所以呢，为什么呢？大家可能都蛮清楚。如果有试过那个喝醉酒呢，或者用其他的毒品的话，你会发现那个。 喝酒之后，那个就是糊里糊涂的哈，那个不会，那个没有办法，那个很清楚想东西想得很清楚的哈，就变成呢，我们可能不容易可以很清楚的知道我们现在做的这个事情会不会伤害其他人，我们是不是很可以好好的想清楚的。 在我们是那个饮醉的时候，所以这个就是因为这个原因呢，那个第五戒呢，只是不要饮酒哈。那当然呢，在美国这个社会呢，因为很多人呢，那个就会跟朋友一块去聚会的时候，都会有都就是就会喝酒的，这个是社交里面一个很多人是一个很。 很普遍，可能是很重要的一个元素哈。有些人我认识一个朋友，他就是很喜欢吃这个意大利菜，那意大利菜里面呢，就是一定要喝点红酒哈，才好吃的东西哈。因为这样不同的原因呢，在我们的社会里面呢，有些人会，有些老师可能都会把这个戒解释为呢，不要喝醉酒哈，不要喝醉酒。 喝一点点还好，如果你喝一点点不会醉的话，哈，这个不要喝醉，不要喝酒，喝到呢让你呢，不能够清可以清醒的知道你在做什么哈。So while all religions have ethical guidelines, there are a few unique points regarding upholding precepts as a Buddhist practitioner. 那当然呢，大家就这些就听到好像就是所有宗教都会，不可以做这个，不可以做那个，宗教都是这样子哈。可是呢，那个佛教里面这个持戒这个修行呢，是有几个特别的地方哈。 First, they are not commandments. They're not like, thou shalt not kill, and if you kill, you do this bad thing is going to happen to you. That's not the spirit of the precepts. So rather, precepts are really, it's more appropriately seen as sort of a reminder, guideline. Like, think about it. If you kill someone or kill an animal, aren't you going to feel bad? And this is actually going to cause you suffering or anxiety about getting caught. So, like, why would you want to do that? Sort of that kind of spirit. It's not rather like, if you do this, you're going to, you know, someone's going to punish you. It's a very different flavor. 那第一个特点呢，就是佛教里面的持戒呢、戒律呢，不是好像说这个好像是一个一种法令，你不可以杀人，不可以这样子，不可以讲打撒谎。如果你杀人，你就会怎么怎么？不是这个精神是不是这样子的？而是呢，在佛教里面的那个戒律呢，就有点像就是一种那个提醒我们。这个做这个事情，当我们做这个事情，就会让我们痛苦啊。那你想想看，如果你杀人或者杀了动物，你杀了之后心里面就会不舒服啊。杀了一个，如果无缘无故就杀了一条狗，不心里不舒服啊，那也痛苦啦。那你为什么要做这些事情呢？这是这个持戒是有这个功能，是来提醒我们啊，不要做一些让我们会痛苦的事情。So, and also, upholding the precept is very personal, meaning that it's not like everyone has to do this. Rather, there are the five precepts being offered to you to take. It's up to you. You can take zero precept. He's like, no thanks. I kind of plan to go kill somebody right after this. So then Master Shen Yan, when he was, then don't take the first precepts because you're planning to break it, right? So if you don't really have plan to kill anybody in the near future, it's not a good idea to take it. So, and you can choose to commit to take, all five of it, because at this point, it's like, you know, I think I can do it. I want to really give it an honest effort, because I want to commit to the practice. You can do that, or you can say, I think I can do the first four. I don't know about the fifth one. And I just like, I really, you know, enjoy going out with my friends and drink, and I do sometimes get drunk from that. It's like, you know, at this point, I don't think I can do that. Take four. It's your practice. There's no one who will be like, oh, you're bad. You only took two? You know, what's wrong with you? It's like, it's your own business. You don't even need to tell anybody which precept you took, because it's for yourself. So it's a very personal practice. And also, it's up to you how far you take each precept. Earlier I talked about, you can think about, for example, the killing, not killing precept. The most basic level is not to kill people, which most people are capable of sticking to, right, upholding. And then the next level very often is like, how about also not kill animals, right? And usually most people don't go out and kill animals, but like for some reason, if that's part of your hobby, like you like to go fishing, let's say, that involves killing animals. If maybe your hobby is hunting, that involves killing animals, right? So, or if your job is butcher, that involves killing animals, like, so you can't give that up. So like, you don't need to take your precept farther than not killing people at this point. It's, again, up to you. That's, you know where you are. You choose. how far you take your precept. So it is very personal, right? And some people, they want to take it farther. They're like, I don't want to kill animals. Actually, not only that, I want to become a vegetarian because that way I won't eat food that involve killing animals. Okay, that's your choice. That's what you have chosen. But there's no standard for everyone. You choose what you would like to do within these precepts. 那第二个特点呢？佛教里面持戒这个特点就是是很个人的。这个持戒，因为不是一个外在的那个出波，就是说你一定要这样子，所有人都一定要这样子，而是说这个是用来保护你自己的修行的，保护你的身口意的。那看你觉得你可以持哪一个戒。好，所以呢，当那个五戒有机会受五戒的时候，不是说你一定全部都要受，你不是说你就不是好人哈，不是这样子说，是要五戒，那你可以持哪几个，你就受哪几个。有一些人就是师父那个时候会说，那第一个戒就不杀生啊，不杀人不杀人，你不是打算一这样出去就要杀，就要去杀人，你就可以持这个戒啊，是吧？除非你说你本来一打算这个打完禅期你就要去杀人了，那你就不要持这个戒了哈。就这样子，你觉得这个戒你觉得可以持哈？那如果你觉得五戒五个我都觉得我应该可以哈，因为我希望就是做一个认真修行的佛教徒，我会尽力去持这个五戒，那你就可以受五戒。有些人就觉得头四个戒我觉得没有问题，可是第五个有问题了，因为我很多朋友，我好朋友都很喜欢喝酒的。那我跟他们一块，我很高兴啊，我就不想，如果不喝酒就没有办法了。那你不希望去那这样子就没有办法跟这些朋友一块，那你说我就没有办法持第五戒，你就不受第五戒就好了。这个是你自己的事情，不是其他人的事情。好，还有呢，刚才也讲到了，每一个戒都是你要把它怎么去解读，把它有多深哈。好像第一个戒最基本的不要杀人如果是把它就是广一点的，也不要去杀其他的动物哈。有些人觉得没有问题，我也可以这样子，可是有些人没有办法，就是因为可能他很喜欢去钓鱼去打猎或者是他的工作就是要屠宰的这个就是他整天要做的事情哈。那个我没有办法了，那没有办法，你还是可以持这个戒，可是只是不要杀人就好了，就是不同程度的，可是持这个戒可以不同程度，谁决定？你自己决定，没有其他人去帮你决定，你也不需要跟其他人讲你持了多少个戒，你每个戒持了多什么程度，跟其他人没关系。这个是你自己的事情，好，这个是一个很重要的特点哈。那有些菩萨持那个不杀生戒，他的把他就是再看深一点，不只是不杀动物，他就说我还不止我不杀动物，我还不要吃肉呢，因为我不吃肉，因为呢我就这样子，不因为我要吃肉要有人要去杀生，这个他把他再推心一层，这个是他的选择。可是你可能也听过了做佛教徒不需要一定要是吃素的哈，可是这个是有些人的选择。好， So there's no set expectation as I mentioned. 好， And also upholding the precept is our practice, our personal practice to purify ourbodily, speech, and mental conduct so that we can cultivate, to facilitate our cultivation to be free from suffering. Precepts in Buddhism are not used as standards to judge and criticize other people. In some other tradition, that might be the case. Maybe how some ethical codes are used for. That's not what they are for in Buddhist practice. Okay, so you take the five precepts. Like I said, it's your business. Other people, whatever precept or no precept they take, that's their business. But we don't use these precepts like, hey, Harry's lying. You know me, and he's bad. You're like, that is not the right way to use the precepts. And that's not what precepts are for, right? So that's another important thing to keep in mind about upholding precepts in our Buddhist practice. And so 那个第三个比较特别的，这佛教里面那个持戒呢，就是刚才讲了，持戒呢是我们自己的事，我们持多少，怎么持，持的怎么程度，这个是我们自己的事。 可是呢，戒律不要做这个，不要做那个，这些呢，不是用来了，来这个持戒的是来让我们呢清净我们身口意啊，让我们呢可以呢离苦得乐。戒律不是用来批判，来批判其他人的，不是用来呢。 用来审判其他人，这个不是有可能有其他的宗教传统会用他们的戒律来做这事情。佛教里面这个是错误的哈，你自己持多少戒怎么持是你的事，其他人他持多少他持多少戒怎么持是他们的事，所以我们不会说哎。 那个 Harry 菩萨他撒谎哦，他破戒哦，他这个是他的事，不是你的事，那个我们不用这些戒律来去批评其他人的，这个非常重要要记得。Of course, adherence to these ethical guidelines is the foundational step towards being a decent human being, right? Like be a decent human being, we don't kill other people and don't take other people's property and don't lie for our own benefits and so on and so forth. But it is not enough. It's not enough just to refrain from doing bad things. That's why there are three studies, remember? We need to engage in the other two studies. To be a serious practitioner, to be a Buddhist practitioner. 那刚才讲了这么多，要持戒，其实这些都是很基本的，做一个好的人，或是不是太坏的人呢，应该是说，应该遵守的，不要杀人，不要。 投盗啊，不要杀谎来让自己有利益，这些就是很基本的行为的指导。可是呢，这个是不够的。我们刚才所说，不是我们有三学，戒只是第一个，我们也是要学习另外两个定跟慧，才可以算是一个佛教的修行佛法。 的佛教徒。 So cultivating concentration, another big topic. So in the Buddhist practice, this is quite a unique thing, besides just upholding ethical behavior. The cultivate concentration involves engaging in the practice of methods the various methods that help to settle down the mind, to cultivate concentration, so that it is possible to make use of the mind in the practice. If any of you have tried at all, you will find that our mind's pretty out of control when it's untrained. And so it's like you can't really gain much control over it if you really want to direct it in a different way than how you have been living your life. Sort of, you know, it's important to use these methods to settle down the mind, right? So common, very, very common methods. If you do sitting meditation, you might use the method of counting or following the breath. And many of you here use the method of reciting the Buddha's name, sometimes practice in the form of chanting. So these are methods of stilling, settling down the mind. And so this is the second study that the Buddhist practitioner needs to engage in. 那第二学那个定，定的意思啊，就是说要我们要修我们的心哈，因为通常我们的心呢是很散乱的，我们是没有办法，因为很散乱，没有办法呢去好好的用我们的心。 那我们呢来修行，就是发现我们有很多问题啊，很多不好的习性啊，我们希望可以做一个比较好的人啊，可是没有办法，因为我们没有办法去控制我们的心，所以呢，我们要修定，用那些修行的方法，好像如果有我们菩萨要是有。 打坐修行的可能是用学习啊、数息啊，或是很多菩萨都会用那个念佛啊的方法呢，就是去那个修歇我们的心，然后让我们呢那个心比较没有那么散乱的时候呢，我们就有办法可以用我们的心去看去修行。So it is helpful when one at this point it's useful to see to take a look at the relationship between the two studies, the first two studies, and it will not be difficult to see that it is helpful to live an ethical life in order to cultivate concentration. Like, think about it, it's a little bit difficult to settle the mind if you have killed somebody. Like you kill somebody, and then like then because you'll be constantly worried about like someone gonna find out every time the phone rings. You thought it's the police. It's a little bit difficult to settle down the mind and sit in meditation, right? And similarly, it's difficult to settle the mind when you're cheating on your partner because you're constantly worried about being found out. You need to like cover up in different ways, make your life very complicated. Or if you have stolen money from a friend, or you have told a lie to benefit yourself, again, just, you know, this anxiety of being discovered would be enough to make it very difficult to calm down and settle down the mind. And of course, it's not easy to settle down the mind after taking intoxicants that overstimulates or numb the mind. So one can say that upholding precepts by living an ethical life also facilitates the cultivation of concentration, right? So it's actually not uncommon because in America, many people think of to practice meditation. That's the practice. If you think that I come to practice meditation and I don't really want to bother with all those precepts because they just sound like commandments and restrict my freedom, then I think you need to think again. Because in fact, believing that you can engage in the Buddhist practice by focusing on meditation only without also the practice of upholding the precepts is a wrong view in itself, right? So that's why we talk about the three studies, right? 那个，这个时候我们可以或许想想看，这个借跟定这两学这个之间的关系哈。我们想想看，就会发现呢，其实，修那个持戒呢，来让我们那个生活是可以过得比较那个好这个做一个比较好的人的时候呢，其实对我们的修定是也是有帮助的。你想想看啊，如果你杀了人，大概是很难那个把那个心安下来哈。因为很紧张，常常那个电话响，以为是不是警察来抓我了哈，都是很恐慌的哈。我这再想想看，就其他的也是啊哈。那如果那个你在那个谐音啊，你那个背着自己的配偶出去找其他的性伴侣，你也很紧张啊，常常在想着会不会给发现啊，还要整天要掩饰啊，这就好把你的生活变得很复杂哈。或是你偷了钱，你朋友的钱呐、或是你撒了谎来利益你自己啊，这些都是会让我们会很紧张的，紧张都成天很担心会给人家发现他们会怎么样啊？你怎么可能在打坐修行的时候可以那个心真的是可以好安定呢？没可能的，没可能的，哈。或许那个饮酒啊，或者是用这个毒品让那个心呢是非常的兴奋啊，或者是非常的麻醉啊，这些都是没有办法让我们的好好去修定的哈。那这可是在美国，很多人都以为呢，这个修行啊，就是我就是来修定的，我是来打坐的哈。其实我不要去搞那些什么持戒戒律啊，那些好烦哦。那个戒律就是不可以做这个，不可以做那个哈，而让我不自由，我不要那个哈。如果是你这样想呢，我希望你呢去要重新思考这个问题哈。因为呢，当你认为你如果修佛法只需要修定，不需要持戒呢，这个想法呢本身就是一个不正确的观念啊，就是不正见了。所以这个要思考一下。The third study, realizing wisdom, the Buddha study. In the practice of the Dharma here, it is not just about not doing bad things and having a calm, concentrated mind. That's not all here. The goal of the practice is, after all, to transcend suffering. Okay. So, some of you might have heard in the Heart Sutra, the very first line, when the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara was coursing in the deep Prajnaparamita, he perceived that all five skandhas are empty, thereby transcending all suffering. You can hear in this line, already can tell you that the practice here is to transcend suffering. And how do we do this? Is to realize in one's practice here the empty nature of all phenomena, including the emptiness of the self. Now, emptiness, huge topic in itself. Not going to talk about it in detail here, but it really what it means is that everything, the stuff, physical objects, our feelings, our emotional feelings, sensations, thoughts, ideas that arise in our mind, including the notion of ourself, our worldview, our belief, they are all impermanent. All, every one of them, none of them is permanent. And nothing, none of that has an independent, permanent existing apart from everything else. So you might have read that Tina Han uses the word interbeing to help us with the illusion of independent separate being of things, including the self. So the realization of emptiness will help one to transcend suffering. And that's why that's the third study. All three are important for us as Buddhist practitioners. So, 那第三学哈, 这是三学就是慧哈, 慧学, 那我们修行佛法, 不只是说要, 不要做坏事, 不只是说要那个心, 很安定, 不只是这样子吧, 修行的目的, 就是希望离苦得乐啊, 哈, 要记得, 那心经第一句已经讲得很清楚了，那个照见五蕴皆空，我就可以度一切苦厄。所以就是很简单的，很清楚跟我们讲，我们要离苦得乐，就是要证得的所有的东西都是空的。 那这个空啊，这个非常大的题目，这今天没有办法讲得很详细哈。可是这个空啊，很多人会误解，是什么意思？意思很简单，就是说所有的现象，包括我们的自我，啊，就是所有东西，物质的东西，我们的那个身体的感受， 心里面情绪的感受， 我们所有的思想思考， 那个念头， 信念， 对世界的看法， 我们的世界观， 还有我们这个， 我们有这个自我， 这个想法， 这个想法， 这个都是一个念头啊， 所有的东西 都是 无常的， 没有一样东西是永远存在的， 没有一样东西是有这个独立 永恒的存在的， 跟其他的东西是分隔的存在的。 所以在英文里面呢，一行禅师用一个字， 那个就是让我们觉得就是所有东西的不是 这个存在是所有的是同一块那个互相存在的哈，让我们因为我们常常都是有这个误解哈，这个是另外一个不正见哈。那我们就可以看到呢，来那个证悟这个真正的了解这个空这个智慧呢，这是可以让我们可以离苦得乐。 So here, this is also another opportunity for us to see the relationship between the studies. Huh? You can see that in order for us to be able to contemplate and penetrate the mind to realize wisdom, realize the nature of emptiness of all things, especially our thoughts, it is helpful for the mind to be settled and clear. If the mind is very scattered and out of control, it's really not possible for us to see into the mind and be able to see that everything's impermanent. It's just not possible. But some people come to the Dharma, it's like, oh, Buddhism is about wisdom. That's what I want. I want wisdom. So they want only one of the three studies. And so I have met quite a number of them. They read a lot of books about emptiness. They talk about emptiness all day long. And as if talking and reading and thinking about it can substitute all other aspects of the practice. Because I want to think of it as a shortcut. And I just want to go to the wisdom one. Like that's the thing anyway, right? So skip other ones. Of course, this is a wrong view. Right, you can see that. So 那现在呢，我们可以看看那个 不三玄之间的关系哈，你可以看到呢，当那个要我们呢可以真正的去那个参我们的心，参透我们的心念，来正念那个所有诸法无常、诸法是空这个这个道理呢，这个智慧呢，那心呢需要可以平静哈。若而心啊的不平静，都是乱七八糟的哈，都是没有完全没有办法那个定下来的时候，我们怎么可能可以清清楚楚的看到心里面那么很维系的起心动念？没有办法看到心里面的维系的起心动念，我们怎么可能可以看到所有的心法、所有的法，包括所有的心念都是无常的呢？没可能的，好，所以就要那个修定了。可是有一些菩萨们呢说，哦，佛法就是要讲智慧的嘛，智慧就是那个要知道这个空嘛。说好，我就专修这个慧智慧，我就看看我认识很多这些菩萨哈，看很多书都讲这个那个空究竟是什么，整天讲空空空空空，好像觉得我讲的想整天在看书讲空啦，想啦，我就可以真的是把这个空悟出来了哈。这好像这个折进哈，我不要搞什么修定啊什么那个持戒，就直接就我要得到这个空这个智慧就好了哈。当然呢，大家听了就可以知道这个是那个不是真见哈。So you can see all three studies, that's why we talk about three studies. It's not elective, it's not elective, just take one. All three are necessary.那可以看到为什么我们讲三学，三个都是需要的，不是说我们只是选一个，三个都是需要的。So one way to think about it is to think about the relationship between among the three studies. You can think of it sort of like a sequential one, right? You have heard me talk like upholding a precept really helps support the cultivation of concentration, which in turn is essential for the cultivation realization of wisdom. So this is one way to think about the relationship among the three studies. But I'm going to use the rest of the time to talk about how if we think about it this way only, it's possible for us to make some mistakes in our cultivation. 那听到这里呢，大概大家会发现呢，可以把这三学之间的关系呢看成是好像一个一步一步的，我们先持戒啊，因为持戒就可以让我们的心帮助我们的心安定，然后修定。那我们修定啊，需要修定才可以发智慧嘛，好像一步一步这样子哈。这个是其中一个可以看可能的看法哈。可是呢，我希望用余下的时间呢来讲一下呢，如果我们纯粹这样子想的话呢，我们可能会碰到一些问题哈，你会问到一些问题。Well, the problem, the potential problem I'm referring to is that if we think about the three studies as a sequence in this way, one may inadvertently, without knowing, begin to think that, oh, precept is just like entry-level stuff, like that's stage one. And then after, like, okay, like, I don't kill people, and I don't lie, and I don't do this stuff. Like, next step is the real one, like, you know,meditate, and then I cultivate wisdom. So sort of way, like, we don't really think about precept very much anymore, because we sort of think of it sort of an elementary level thing. And that is how we can get into trouble. So, 那刚才我说呢，当我们把三学只是纯粹看成 一个三步三个步骤这样子的想法的时候呢，我们怎么会出问题？就是说呢，当我们想哦，我们先持戒，那么持环戒我们修定之后就是那个修慧的时候呢，可能我们心里面就会形成一个想法，我们都没有很清楚，可能去发现，可能就会有这样的想法，就说哦，持戒就是好像就是初学的嘛，我刚初学就是持戒嘛，啊哈，那持完戒啊，我们这才这来修定就比较难了，还高级一点哈，那个进那个这个好像升丹一样哈，那个出那个持戒是哦，我不杀人啊，我不杀生啊，我不那个啊撒谎啊，啊我不行哦，没有问题啊，我就毕业了啊，我就不再去想。不再去想我们的戒律，不再去想持戒这个事情。好，当我们的修行是这样子的时候，我们就很容易会出问题啊。So, let's some of you may have heard that what is the last teaching of Shakyamuni Buddha when he was about to pass away? His disciples said.What are we going to do without you here? All right, like you might have heard. Some of you may know what Buddha said. What did Buddha say? Take the precepts as your teacher. Take the precepts as your teacher. So, among the three studies, he picked the precepts, what you thought is the most elementary one.Take that as your teacher. That tells you how important precepts is in our practice. What a central role it should take in our practice. 菩萨们大概有可能有听过哈，那个当佛陀快要往生的时候，他的弟子就哎，我们怎么办呐、啊？你不在的时候，我们怎么办呐、啊？哈，我们有没有老师啊？那大概你们有听过啊？佛陀这答案是什么？以戒为师，哈，以戒为师。三学戒定慧里面，佛陀说以戒为师，哈。当我们想到哎，戒其实简单嘛，就很那个太初级了哈啊，我们要记得佛陀教诲以戒为师，让我们记得持戒是有多重要在我们修行里面。 So that sort of warrants us taking a closer look at the precepts, at the study of precepts.And I'd like to spend some time to kind of get us to think about, maybe I'm just purely making this up, huh? But maybe it sort of resonates with you, so I will let you think about it. Some sort of possible problem that we might run into when we don't really pay careful attention to how we go about upholding the precepts.那我也希望花一点点时间来讲一下呢。当我们呢说哦，我是持戒啦，我是佛教徒嘛，我持戒，可是呢就是没有很小心的去看去思考究竟我们是怎么去持戒的时候呢，有可能会犯的什么错误哈。那有一些可能跟你没有关系，有一些可能你说啊，好像我有这样子的情况哈，那是希望自己大家思考一下哈。So the first possible situation is that we do take the precepts as external restrictions to our behavior.Know this, know that, know that. Even with all the things, explanation, that's not what it is like. We still sort of internalize them as restrictions to our behavior. All right. So I want to kind of share a story. I sometimes help my sister look after her 5-year-old. And so learn a lot from 5-year-old people. So, one time, like this 5-year-old nephew of mine, He loves to talk. He talks nonstop all day at home. So one day he told us, oh, the teacher praised me, said that I'm good, I'm a good boy. And we're like, okay, well, what did your teacher praise you for? And he said, oh, the teachers praised me because I was quiet. I did not talk in class at all. And we find it difficult to fathom that. So it's like, but you talk all day long at home. Like, how is it possible that you don't talk at school at all day? And he explained to us, well, because in the classroom, there's a rule. We're not supposed to talk. And if you talk, then the teacher will punish you and say you break the rule. And so, like, I don't want to be punished. I don't want to be punished, so I keep quiet. It's more safe. It's more safe like that. And then we said, so is that why you come home and you talk so much? He said, yeah, you have to make up for that. We think he is really cute, but do we do that? Do we do that? Do we think of certain precepts as restricting our behavior and refrain from them due to the fear of being punished? And think about that. Take a second to think about that. 那第一个情况呢，我刚才就是说。 这个戒律呢，不是说要规范，不要让我们这样子，不要让我们那样子。可是我们听了还是这样子听进去，听了就是这个是不要，你不可以这样子，不可以那样子，我们就这样子去解释它，心里面就觉得，直接就是不要，不可以做那个，不可以做这个，让我们不自由，哈。那个，我印象就是讲一个故事，就是我那个。 我妹妹有个儿子啊，5岁的儿子，我有的时候要帮要来带他哈，就是在他身上学了很多东西哈。那他这位我这个医生呢，他很喜欢讲话，一天讲不停，在家里有醒来到睡觉不停的在讲话，非常喜欢讲话。那一天呢，他回家跟我们讲哦。 今天老师赞我，赞我好乖哦。我就说，老师赞你乖什么？他说，因为我呢，一天在班里面课室里面都没有讲话，那我们觉得这没可能的，他怎么可能一天都不讲话呢？哈，他说，对啊，我真的没有讲话。我们说，怎么为什么？是因为呢，上课的时候不可以讲话的，不可以讲话，讲话呢，老师会罚我们的。 那因为呢，我不想受罚，我就不讲话了。你说就这样子比较安全哈，比较安全。他是很害怕，很害怕，不想给老师罚，他就不讲话。那我们就问他，那是不是因为这样子你回家就不停的讲话？说是对呀，这样只是因为一天没有讲话嘛，那个回家就多讲了哈。那我们就觉得这个好好笑哈，可是呢。 我们要问一下，这个是不是也是我们的，跟我们的持戒的态度有关系呢？有点像呢。当如我们把这戒律想，戒律想成，不可以让我们这样子，不可以让我们那样子，好，那个，我们会不会把它就觉得，当就是那个。 那个有这个，我们不做这个事情，就是因为我们害怕，我们害怕。好，so the interesting thing is that when we do something, refrain from doing something, because of fear. I'm sure we all have that experience. Things happen, like we become a little bit resentful about what we are being asked to do. Even though you took the precepts, like, actually get, like you're kind of a little bit resentful about not being able to do certain thing. And you feel restricted. And uh, the, these thoughts and feelings of resentment accumulate as vexations. And then, and this may cause us to behave in different way. One, we may, after a while, we just give up. We just kind of get so fed up with having to do this. We may give up practice altogether. This is like too restrictive. I don't want to do this. Or more commonly is that like what my nephew did. Okay, when we are with other people, I don't want to be punished. I don't want to break the precepts. But when I'm home, I do double of that. So for example, like if, you know, we want to try to get engaged in the practice of refraining from harsh speech, right? Related to the precept of not lying. And actually part of the teaching is that, you know, to refrain from speaking harshly to others. One way to do it is to say soothing words to others, to encourage others. So not only do you not say what you habitually tend to say, you say something different to help you out. This is a good practice. But if we think of it as a way to restrict ourselves, and we are not aware of the pent-up vexations, what we may end up doing is that when we get home, when other people are not watching, we may behave, we may let our habitual tendency to speak harshly come out. And the unfortunate thing is that the people who are closest to you will get that most, right? So I don't know, maybe it doesn't apply to you. You can think about it.
那这个呢，大家可能会知道了。当我们呢做一件事情，是因为我们害怕，我们不希望受罚，因为我们很害怕，所以我们不做一件事情的时候呢，大概大家都会有这个经验，就是这个害怕，这个感觉恐惧呢，会慢慢让我们的心里面呢，也会升起其他的其他的烦恼，我们会慢慢会觉得，这个就是让我们很不自由，会越来越抗拒，会越来越就是有一些愤怒的情绪啊在里面。我们可能不知道，我们慢慢就会这个是形成下来。有可能日子久了，我们就放弃了，这个好累好辛苦，我不想做了，放弃了，放弃休闲了。另外可能性呢，很多人会做呢，他就好像我这个医生这样子哈。再有人，其他人在外面的时候就做得好好看的哈，是吧？其中一个修行好像就是，那个不要恶语哈，就是学了不要撒谎的时候，在我们的言语里面呢，就是不要讲一些很难听的话哈。可是有些菩萨，他就有这个习性啊，有了这个习性，那怎么办呢？有人不要讲恶语，还有除了不要讲恶语之外，还要讲一些好听的话，哈，就是这个是帮助他这个修行的，这个很好的修行哈。可是呢，当我们觉得这个就是很要很大的负担，你让不让我们做我们想做的事情的时候呢，我们可能在外面的时候。可以做哈，可是呢很累哈，然后呢回到家里呢，就跟我们这个五岁的小孩一样，回家就是做三倍自己想做的事情哈，就放纵了，放纵自己那个把自己习性呢都发出来了。这个当然最不幸呢，就是当然我们最亲近的人就会最直接受到我们这些脾性。所以呢，我们要想想看自己有没有这样的情况哈。Another related
to this is that we uphold the precept to feed our ego. So when we think that upholding precept
does it make you a good Buddhist? I'm there. I want to be a good Buddhist. And upholding more of that is good. I do that. And upholding them at a more strict level, deeper level, you know, not just killing people, like not kill animal, vegetarian. I'm there. I want to do that. Try to go into the precept deeply, uphold as many precepts as possible to be a good Buddhist, feed our ego. Anyone? 另外一个这个关有关系的就是呢，当我们持戒的时候，持戒的时候呢，持戒的可能不是很知道自己有这样子的问题哈，知道啊，听到持戒是应该持戒的啊，佛教徒就是用持戒这个修行呢，来让我们的自我更膨胀。好，那我们听到持戒就是做一个好的佛教徒，我想做一个好就佛教徒，我是希望是一个好的佛教徒，让人家知道觉得我是一个好的佛教徒，所以我持戒持于多越多越好，我持更多，觉得越深越好，那不执不杀生啊，还要不吃肉更好，好我就不吃肉，这样子来的动机是什么？希望人家觉得我是一个佛教好的佛教徒。And when we go about it this way, we are doing it to make ourselves feel good, important. We are doing it to get others to see us as good Buddhist. We find that when we do that, we become very rigid about it. Because this is a thing we do to make us be a certain person. Huh?所以当我们是这样子的动机啊，哈，是希望来持戒，来让我们觉得我是一个好的佛教徒，让我们希望其他人觉得我们是一个好的佛教徒，我们呢就变成了把这些戒律的变成很没有弹性，一定要这样子，哈。The one example is some people, if they decide, you have to be a vegetarian to really keep the no killing precept. They become very rigid about it, make a big fuss in situation where they cannot have exactly the food that they need to the degree that they want to uphold their precept. All right. They may also become very judgmental, critical of others who cannot.Uphold the precept at the level that they are. This is all ego trip. Right? 那、当菩萨是这样子的情况的时候呢，可能呢他们就会变成很没有弹性了。好像第一个例子是有些菩萨说持不杀生戒，那个他是哦不杀生戒，我不只是不杀人不杀动物，我还要吃素，好，不要让其他人杀生。这个是不错的事情，可是呢，它就非常没有弹性。就是说，当在外面吃饭的时候，当其他人没有办法，可以就是给他一定要这样子的食物的时候，他们就会好麻烦，好生气，哈，那让他其他人很烦恼哈，或者呢会看到其他人，哎，你不吃，你吃还是吃肉，你没有好好持戒啊，会对其他人呢，就是来批评其他人，就这样子的情况。这个是什么？因为这个人在持戒的时候是来让自己的自我膨胀的。好 ，so you can see that rather than practice letting go of self-centered attachment.One may be practicing enlarging one's ego attachment. 是吧？那不只是没有啊，这放下自我中心啊的执着，人的自我中心越来越强，这个是很可怜的。So, what can be done? Remember the other two.Studies is the key. The key to other studies of cultivating concentration and
cultivating and realizing wisdom. When we use upholding precepts to feed our ego, what's happening is that we are not aware of the motivation behind our action. Don't you think? And because of that, we don't have an opportunity to really see whether it is right view or not. When we take the precept as restrictive to our freedom, really opposite of what we are taught about precepts, but we think that way anyway, we cause ourselves problem. Again, it's because we're not aware. That's our attitude. That's our mentality. Why is that? Because our mind is not clear and settled enough to see the thought patterns behind our actions, behind how we go about upholding the precepts. And how do we become more clear about the thought patterns that drive the way we uphold our precepts? It is by cultivating concentration, the second study. Furthermore, this whole idea about using the precept to feed our ego. Many of you have heard numerous lectures by Guo Xing Fashi who talked about emptiness. By now you ought to remember he talked about how the person who's doing an action is empty, the action itself is empty, and the person receiving the action is empty. And it's a very good way to remind ourselves, even though we haven't completely realized it ourselves, it's a good reminder of this teaching of wisdom, of emptiness. So that when we are aware that we are motivated by wanting to be a good Buddhist, maybe in addition to that, to be praised as a good Buddhist, huh? Attachment or craving. We are aware of that. And then we can make adjustment to how we go about upholding the precepts so that we can adhere to right view. 所以呢，这里呢，怎么办呢？怎么办？就是我们记得三学，不只是持戒。持戒怎么好好的持戒呢？我们要记得要修定，要修慧，才可以好好的持戒。我们为什么在持戒的时候会有这些不正见？希望用持戒来把我的自我膨胀。或者是在持戒的时候会觉得这些戒律是来让我不自由的，这个就是错误的理解。为什么？因为我们没有很清楚的关照到我们的起心动念，我们的心里面怎么我们做一个这个事情的动机不知道，不清楚。为什么不清楚？因为那个心不定，那心里面是乱七八糟的，所以就没有办法好好清清楚楚的可以关照到我们的心里面那些习性，怎么样让我们对这个事情有这样子的想法，没有办法让我们看到，哎，其实我们有这个升起了这个错误的见解。还有我们需要用我们的那个对智慧的理解，好，就算没有完全正见到那个空见空这回事哈，我们现在应该听到佛行法师讲很多次了，三轮体空，我是空，受我的这个做的事情也是空，这个做的行为本身也是空，这个呢就算只是听了记得了还不是完全的理解，但是体验了，
还是一个很好的啊，让我们记得的事情。当我们每一次想到啊，我要做这个事情，所以我就可以做一个好的佛教徒，让其他人觉得我是一个好的佛教徒。这个我们就记得，哦，这个是不增减，这个不是空减，我们就会不会这样子犯这个错误。所以呢，为什么三学就是不是一个一个分开的，每修每一个在我们持戒是需要这个定跟慧来帮助我们好好的来持戒。This is the reason why we talk about the three studies. We need the cultivation of concentration for the clarity and awareness, as well as the bright view from wisdom in order for us to uphold the precept properly without going off the path. Thank you.